The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or on how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path and so much more. Whatever your financial goals, Nathan has the strategies to get you there. And now here's your host, Nathan P. Ross.
Welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. The week of June 5th, Saturday, if you're in the Central Standard Time Zone. And as usual, we will be discussing assorted real estate, financial planning, private syndication, and maybe some zero tax math Q&A. And you're welcome to call me at any point throughout the show. The number to get in is 281-558-5738 or 281-558-KSEV. And I'm going to try not to take the entire first segment, which is what usually happens, to tell you exactly what we do and why you might be interested in connecting with us. But suffice it to say that we assist clients that have decided that real estate, or maybe they haven't yet. Maybe they're looking at royalties on rap star songs. I've got clients that are into a little bit of everything, but point is they're trying to make decisions to put their retirement money typically to work. They realize they're behind the eight ball. They realize there's very few options that will get them out ahead again. And real estate, multifamily real estate specifically, with private partnerships is our focus. And we've seen people generate massive amounts of wealth over a few years, not the rest of your life, certainly doesn't take that if you get into the right transactions. And more importantly, if you know which code section of the Internal Revenue Code to execute your investing under. And that's probably the single biggest variable that most of the real estate gurus, and I do include some exceptions there. In fact, we're going to be hearing from one of the exceptions later today. Is going to join the show. And I'll just tell you right now, for all the talk about financial freedom and retiring in 5 years or less, et cetera, if you'll listen to me and understand our strategy, you'll get twice the financial freedom, and you might actually retire in 5 years. It depends on the answers to some other questions, which you don't usually hear ask. In those or on those platforms, those radio shows, those podcasts, the case studies, etc., which tend to be very heavy emotion driven. And we want to know not just when you want to retire. We want to know, well, how many dollars do you have to work with now, and how do you define retirement? Is it $50,000 a year after tax? Is it $150,000? Is that, as one of my clients told me, it was $780,000 after tax each year. Well, that's an important dynamic to know if you're going to tell somebody when they can retire. And we'll actually show you, based on pro forma information, based on your answers, where that line is. We won't just say, oh, we'll do it in 5 years or less. It may be 5 years, but it's likely not unless you've got significant retirement wealth already. Let me add real quickly to the disclaimer that you heard on the way in. Yes, these are not the views of KSEV Radio. I doubt seriously KSEV Radio has ever contemplated the issues that we talk about. We are the asterisk that usually shows up in assorted spots. Like if you open an IRA account or a solo K account, you're going to see an asterisk, and it will always say something to the effect that the custodian or the firm that you're applying for an account with does not answer legal, tax, and assorted other questions. They're simply a facilitator to hold an account. Well, that asterisk is what we do. We do give tax advice. We do help you understand what your choices are in terms of investing. And you need somebody like us, if it's not us, that understands how to connect the dots, because there are multiple outcomes, some not good, if you turn left when you should have turned right. And we want to not just do good, we want to excel at generating the higher returns with the structure, not necessarily the investment. Many investments will return good or adequate returns. The structure, in other words, which code section do we execute your investing under, can actually double the throughputs, double the outputs. That's what we want to do. But in any event, just wanted to point out, be a planner or NP Ross CPAs or Nathan Ross CPA does not become your accountant or your tax advisor just because you listen to this radio show, hear me on a podcast, access one of my websites, submit a contact us request, send or receive an email, or call our office. You will have a client relationship only after we provided you with an acknowledged receipt from you of an executed, actually it's a payment, it's your invoice that has the details of what we're signing up for. And if you read that invoice and pay it, we assume you understood or you would ask us a question. Any discussions involving tax matters, questions, answers, etc., on this show will be as up to date as we possibly know. I would tell you through the most recent tax act, the 2017 JCTA or Job Cuts and Tax Act. Tax Cuts Jobs Act, and otherwise known as the Trump Tax Act. And of course, we're still getting regulations and clarifying rules, et cetera, but that's all anybody can respond to you with. And I'm also going to tell you, you should always consult with your current advisors about the same questions you ask me. I don't know you in many cases. I don't know your facts and circumstances. The answer usually is maybe when you ask a question about taxes, you know, with our tax code. And once you understand that out of the 70,000 pages, there might be a couple thousand that deal with how you're going to get taxed, the rest of it is all the exceptions to how you're going to get taxed. And that's where we live, or we try to, is we try to understand what might apply that would be a better option. Again, if you want to ask questions, 281-558-KSEV or 5738 on the last four there. You can also email me at nathan@npross.com, and you can go to our website at baplanner.com. That's spelled out, BEAPLANNER.com. Three things you'll see out there. You'll see an illustration of our flagship strategy involving the 401 trust. You'll also see how you might execute with an IRA or without either those two. You'll see what it looks like if you decide to rip the Band-Aid off, so to speak, and simply write a check to the IRS to be able to control your money. And of course, we'll control, or we'll take control, or let you take control with either one of the two other options, which means you can keep more money in transactions that make you money instead of investing, using the term very loosely, with the IRS. IRS rates of return are still zero, not very good when you look at it over the next 30 years of your life. We'll show you how to increase your family's net worth significantly by investing those dollars without tax or penalty, if you qualify. On our website at baplanner.com, you'll find two other items of interest. Schedule a call if you'd like to speak with me off the air. And then also we have intake forms, which if I have those, I can answer questions like the following. I've got a listener that sent us an email this week. This is one of many we get, but I like this one because it hits on several points I'd like to make. She says, hi, Nathan. As you know, this is a client at this point. We have three rental houses generating about $1,200 a month cash flow. The expenses and depreciation reduce our taxable income, and they are building equity. The cash flow added to my husband's Social Security and my pension get us very close to covering our living expenses. How do the quarterly distributions from passive investments compare? Passive investments is a reference to private real estate partnerships. And so what she's asking is, if we invest in partnerships instead of in single family rentals, how does the cash flow compare? And I would tell you that it depends on typically whether you're doing this within a 401 trust or IRA, or you're doing it with your money out of a money market account. But generally speaking, what she's asking is, if we take money out quarterly out of those investments, are they tax-free, are they taxable income, or do they represent capital gains? And what I'll suggest to you, I'll tell you what, we're coming up on a break. Let's hold this thought. And when we come back, I believe we're going to be speaking with Steve Davis. Yes, we've got him on hold. So I'll come back to this topic probably by the third segment of the show. So sit tight. We'll be right back here momentarily.
Want to be a part of the conversation? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com. Or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross, right here on AM 700 KSEV.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross. I have a special guest today, Mr. Steve Davis, who is the founder of the Total Wealth Academy investor platform that we work with quite a few of his clients. And Steve, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Great. You weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth, now were you?
No. when I started investing in real estate, I was actually $30,000 in debt, you know, credit card debt, and
sure.
I had just taken a $20,000 a year pay cut from my job, which was what motivated me to invest in real estate. So, no silver spoon.
And what does a job stand for again? I hear
just
you say
over
it many
broke.
Times. There you go, just over broke. Well, you know, I've known Steve, just for full disclosure, I am a member of the Total Wealth Academy. I also attribute my real estate investing to Steve due to the fact that I heard him on the radio literally just over 18 years ago, about 18 and a half years,
wow.
I think, if I'm calculating it right. 2003, January, late January. I think y'all had just gone to the radio with your former company you were with. And, you know, Steve was the first guy I ever heard talk about real estate that didn't involve stepping on somebody when they were down. I mean, I understand distressed properties and distressed situations are the way you make money. It's just you still can be nice about it, right? And
yeah.
Steve explained it that way. He said, you know, we're going to help you learn how to identify, acquire, manage, and very importantly, exit investment-grade real estate. And that really resonated with me, and he's still doing it to this day. So tell us what's going on with Total Wealth Academy. I know you just had the big expo last week with the crawfish boil. We sponsored. We also gave away two nights free at one of my properties in San Antonio. We do boutique hotel type fully furnished
nice.
Housing. And I heard there was a good turnout. You know, Natalie Pilkington, I think you realize Steve is doing some work with me now, thankfully.
Yeah.
And she was there and had good things to report. But you tell us from your perspective. You're the guy that put it together. You knew what you were expecting. I'm assuming with 400 people there, you had to have achieved mightily. But tell us how it went.
Yeah, it was really exciting because we had case studies of a million-dollar flip. And I don't want to get people intimidated by that number because this is a woman who had $2.65 in her bank account when she started flipping houses, and now she's flipping million-dollar deals. We then had John Maness, who has about 10 million square feet of self-storage. He explained self-storage investing. Then we had Kaylee McMahon, who is the apartment queen out of Dallas-Fort Worth, but she owns property all across the country, do case studies of how her passive investors are making money. But the exciting thing for me was we picked up or are about to pick up two new sponsors, also known as syndicators, that go into other arenas, including hotels. And they have a huge amount of experience in that arena, and we're vetting them right now, but it looks like we're going to start investing in hotels as well. So our array of investments has grown dramatically as a result of that event, and we had about 30 families that joined that.
Excellent.
Nathan, you'll be hearing from some of them soon.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to give a quick...
It's probably already
referral.
Started because we've gotten a lot of calls this week. Yeah, so that's a good thing. We love it, and I may be 12 hours away, but I'm not 12 hours from responding, I can promise you, when I get those leads.
Well,
so,
I want to give, Nathan, I appreciate you having me on your show, but I want to give a brief, if you will, a referral or a sales pitch for why you want to deal with Nathan Ross. I always joke to people, I say, you know, if you've got a five-minute question and you're going to call Nathan Ross, grab a cup of coffee, it'll be an hour. And the members are so ecstatic about the fact that you do spend that type of time with them to clarify the laws that to me are just cloudy as can be, and clearing out those clouds, making people understand that they're paying too much in taxes. One lady who's, I can't give too many details about her because it would give away who she is, but she called me for 5 minutes to tell me how much she appreciated what you did for her. So if people are worried whether or not Nathan Ross is real, this guy is real, and he spends massive amounts of time teaching people the strategies that allow them to pay lower taxes, and that results in a difference of millions of dollars over 20 or 30 years. It's incredible. So I appreciate
it. Sure does. Hey, listen, in that regard, I want to tell you, I had, and this call kind of summarized it, and I guess I'm going to toot my own horn a little bit here. I've got what I'm going to call someone that's really way above average in terms of their retirement wealth that called me off the show. They hadn't really been involved. They'd never been involved with any of the investor platforms. The guy's a real estate attorney, works directly with the big names in Houston, Texas that develop. Okay. He's got a real niche as an attorney. And at one point he said, well, what is this costing me? And I said, you're not paying me anything yet. I said, you'll know when the clock started. Well, actually, we don't work with the clock. You'll know when the project started because I will bill you and you'll pay me in advance. And he said, well, gee, you know, I'm at a point in my career. He's my age, by the way. He said, I don't have to work for free. And I said, well, you know what? I'm at a point in my career where I can work for free. And when I work for free, I find that, like Zig Ziglar, I believe it was, that said, you give others what they want, you'll get what you want. That works almost every time in this arena because
absolutely.
this is an area that's, like you said, it's not just cloudy. It's really, really fuzzy. And it's like sometimes when you click on an image on your phone, it takes it a while to fully, come to life, I guess you might say. And that's what we try to do. And I'm telling you, Steve, and you know this, I had a client, and you would know who this was, that told me she called I'm not going to use the name, but the leading IRA custodian in the city of Houston and asked to speak to the person that runs the show, quote unquote, and was told that, oh, he doesn't talk to prospects or clients. And I'm thinking, man, how do I do that? I can't do that. Are you kidding me? The content that we talk about, there is no CSR that'll answer the question because they don't know. And so you have to spend this time. I am working to automate some of it. I made you aware of that, and I don't know at what level you're going to offer that, but I've already committed the money. It's a lot of money to be able to automate some tax planning where we take your data in electronically. It gets analyzed against, it'll soon be 300 tax planning strategies under the code, and give us the ability to very quickly say, hey, here's what might fit. Let's take a look. And we will, in the medical context, we will perform a diagnosis without charge once you give us the required info on our intake forms at baplanner.com. And we will tell you, okay, here's the diagnosis. This is what's wrong with you in medical parlance. And then if you want a written prescription, that's when the cost will start. And then if you want us to do the operation or fulfill that prescription, you'll pay us more. But bottom line is, you join a platform like Total Wealth, you can have that analysis prepared complimentary. I'm not doing it for other platforms. I mean, I'll charge to do it for other platforms and do, but I want to make you have all the incentive you need to get you off center in terms of taking control of your money, investing in real estate, and then doing whatever makes you happy. And Steve Davis will help get you there on the emotional decision and the take action decision. I want to help you with the math, and that's really my goal, and I'll spend whatever time it takes, because in most people's case, once they understand the math, it's no longer a sale or a sales prospect. It's a client, right? So anyway, just put a bow around
that. Yeah, I totally agree. I want to go back to something you said. And this is why I love dealing with you, Nathan, is because most people don't understand the concept that money only comes from one place, helping and serving other people. That's and true. If you've got a lot of money right now, it's because you helped and served a lot of people. Don't let your ego get involved. Don't get over proud about it. But you must understand money comes from only one place, other people. And when you put that Zig Ziglar concept of if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. You want to give away part of your service.
True.
Because you give away a piece or two, the people go, holy crap, I can trust this person. They know what they're doing. Okay, I'll hire you. And the other thing is, these people don't want, I've got enough money not to work. Retirement sucks. I've done it twice, once at 30 and 2 years ago. It's boring as crap. You know, people are like, oh, I'm looking forward to retirement. It's the last step before death. That retirement is the goal. It's financial freedom that's the goal. And that can be at 25, 35, 45. It has nothing to do with age. I'm sorry. No, I kind of went on a rant there.
No. You're correct. And I've told people many times, I feel like I retired at age 25 when I left Arthur Andersen, the big company.
Yeah.
I was in the tax department, by the way. I got to choose what I was going to work on each day. That, to me, that was doing what made me happy. And I can say to this day, I have never caught up. I am always, I mean, in a good way, I'm always behind. Yeah. I always have other opportunities. They just keep coming. I love the fact that I don't know what next week holds. I don't know what kind of paycheck I would get.
It keeps it exciting.
Exactly. It's fresh. It's you wouldn't believe the opportunity. Well, you would, Steve, because you've been self-employed effectively. It's the only way to live. And there is no way I could go back. No way. I'd be a horrible employee. I would know the reality of what I was missing. And self-employment is a good thing, especially once you learn about the 401 trust and the significant tax savings and, more importantly, wealth creation. Hey, it's one thing to do it for a tax reason. It's quite the other when you're doing it because you're going to double your accumulated wealth as you head towards retirement, which is whatever you want to make it. And it's like Steve says, it's not sitting at the beach every day. You may do that for a month or two. I've seen many people do that, and then they come back and they say, gee, why did I let my job go? Because some people actually get satisfaction out of their job. or why didn't I find something else to do? You know, some kind of nonprofit endeavor or starting, you know, syndicating, as some of them have done. Look at all the guys that syndicate that have, quote, retired, at least for a while, and then they realize, well, gee, this, like Steve said, it's no fun. But anyway, hey, Steve, tell me this. The event last week was the count what you expected? I mean, I think you said you'd given away all 400 tickets.
Yeah, it was really a pleasant surprise because it was our first expo, and we combined it with a crawfish boil afterwards, and the results were incredible. We probably were 50% above our anticipated results.
Oh, wow.
And the members, I must have gotten, I'd say, somewhere between 50 and 70 emails from grateful members and students that were just, I learned more at that than I have at, you know, other events. Yeah, it was really exciting, and I really appreciate you sponsoring it. The members knew who you were. When I mentioned your name, you know, several people came up to me and told me, like I said, the story about how you spend so much time with them to truly make them understand before you start asking for money. It's amazing.
Well, you know, it takes care of itself, but I will tell you, I think I know who you're referring to a few moments ago, and I had another exchange with her last night just before I went to bed.
Medical,
you know,
knew field,
I
right.
had to get up. Right. And yeah. I she had shot me a question. I said, hey, you got time for a quick call? And she said, sure. And of course that went for an hour, like Steve said, but a lot of it was not germane to the topic. You know how I can be. And if you give me an opening and you express some interest in what the weather's like today or the vaccine or anti-vaccine or whatever, you'll get me going. But anyway, I noticed when I got up today, she had responded, maybe you need to redefine, quote, quick call. Quote.
Yeah.
I said, no, I get it. No worries. You just need to shut me down when you're ready. Hey, Steve, I'm going to move on, but tell me any last minute thing you want to add, go for it. And then I got to answer Cheryl's question. Another one of your
favorite thing to
members.
Tell people,
but anyway,
is that, you know, they're successful at everything they do. People are brilliant, but they may be successful at ineffective things.
Very true.
When you start investing in real estate, which accounts for 70% of the millionaires in the U.S., and I honestly believe that my success in life has been a direct result of me just going and finding successful people and going, what do? Okay, I'll do that too.
Yeah.
I'm just an imitator. I'm a copycat. I just find successful people and imitate them.
Well, let me ask you, I want to ask you something that I've, and I can't believe how late in life it took me, but this is, I think, most people, maybe you were the exception. I know now, like, for instance, on a piece of real estate, if I'm going to do a certain rehab, and let's say I need a granite countertop, I've got guys that could do it. And then there's guys that do it every day, eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And what I've learned is, the value is really the measure of whether I should pay a certain fee. It's not the price. Yeah, the lower price, as I told one of my contractors once, I said, you know what? For what you're costing me in holding cost, I could hire Zachary Construction, you know, the big outfit in San Antonio where my properties are. And that would be cheaper because they get it done and I can turn the unit. But I realize at this point in life, when you need a brain operation, you need brain surgery, you get a specialist. You don't go call the general practitioner. And I'm going to suggest that applies to your program.
You don't look for the lowest price.
Well, you look for the best value. And
exactly.
I'm telling you, I've proven that time and again later in life. I wish I'd done it earlier. I used to think, yeah, we can do everything on our own. No, you need partners and you need mentors, and it will be the overall, as you say, the most effective option among the ones that you have to choose from. So anyway, Steve, let's do this again next week. Call me. Let's talk about why next week we should consider an investor platform, a mentor platform, instead of winging it on our own, which we could certainly do in today's time. There are some really good reasons, and I know we're in agreement on this topic. So
yeah.
If you're available next week, give me
a
shout.
Yeah, I'll call in. It really comes down to one point. If I hadn't have been a member of an investor platform, I would have made mistakes that destroyed me.
There's no question.
I made a mistake that cost me $300,000. And then I hired a mentor. Never made that mistake again.
Well, I would believe it, and I'm going to tell you right now, the ability from within a group of like-minded people to make the same mistake three or four times maybe, instead
exactly.
of 30,000 times, that's worth the price of admission. Even if you don't like anything else about the program, don't join it because of Steve Davis or assorted other personalities larger than life in the Houston area, right?
Join
it because of the guys and gals that have gone before you that have been successful, and they've experienced failure. You learn as much from the guys that had a strategy that didn't work. In fact, you may learn more than from the ones that did. That's what you're joining. It's not the people working at Steve's office necessarily, although that has value. It's the intangible of the people you're going to meet, that contact net that you develop, where eventually you'll be able to call someone that has a property at almost any corner in Southwest Houston and say, hey, what's the promotion that works here? What's the landscaping policy? Do we fill the old swimming pool in with concrete, or do we make it beautiful again? It's things like that where you just can't put a price tag on what that value is. But anyway, listen, thanks for calling. I've got another call, it looks like, that's popped up.
All right.
And
thanks a lot,
I look forward to next week, man. Same time, same place, same channel.
I'll talk to
okay.
you then.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Steve. Okay. Looks like we have Scott in West Houston on the line. Scott, what can we do for you today?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
I have a question regarding owning MLP units in an IRA. I got a notice this year from the custodian that starting in 2020, I have to pay taxes on the UTBI, which is unrelated taxable business income.
Sure.
I was just wondering, has there been a law change or something that's affected
you? You know, there's been no law change. That's always been a requirement. And I suspect that what's happening, because I've been reading about it for a while, although I haven't seen it across my client base, but we have a lot of clients that are in MLP-type investments, as well as private real estate syndications. Most of our clients are in those investments, but I do have a number that are in the pipeline. Pipeline companies are usually the ones that we see a lot of that with, or exploration. And, you know, the issue is, are you invested in a passive type activity, or are you invested in a trader business? And that type of activity with regard to apparently, I don't know which MLP you're in, but it must rise to the level of what the IRS considers a trader business, as most of them will, okay? And so you're being told that, hey, if you've got the cutoff is, and it's not a very high threshold, if you've got at least $1,000 in gross revenues attributable to your IRA's interest, which you're probably like 0.0025%. It's a very low number. You may not rise to the level of having to file, but you need to look at that. And of course, having to file doesn't mean you owe any tax, because the UBIT tax is calculated on positive taxable income or gains that get generated. And many times on an oil and gas transaction, as well as certainly on a real estate transaction, cash flow does not translate to taxable income. So you really got to look at that. And I do know I've got several clients that are, depending on the brokerage that they went through, and I can't remember which ones do and which ones don't, some of them offered to prepare that information for you, because it's anything but intuitive. You'll be cussing the broker that puts you in that deal once you walk through that process. Trust me, I've got clients that are in 50 of those things, and that's an annual huge exercise to calculate those amounts. And then you got to carry them forward. And of course, there are PLPs, which is, or PTPs, which is publicly traded partnerships. falls under a different area, the passive activity loss rules. It's a nightmare for the average accountant, much less layperson. So I don't know, but I would lean heavy on your broker and say, hey, you know, this was never explained to me. Who do I turn to? And see what they tell you. Maybe they're getting those calls from other clients. And and that's just something we deal with. Now, in the real estate arena, we can avoid the UB IT altogether. There is a component of the UBIT referred to as UDFI, and I know these are acronyms, and it's only an accountant that works in this area like me that even begins to appreciate that acronym. But that's basically a leverage tax, meaning that if you invest in an apartment building, let's say, with a group of 100 other people, and that partnership has debt, which it will, or you won't be making money. I mean, that's how real estate transactions make money, is the leverage that's involved. And in any event, that falls subject to the UDFI component of UBIT, and you'll pay tax. That's the IRA. Now, a 401 trust in the exact same partnership is exempt from UDFI and UBIT with respect to passive rental real estate. That is a huge difference that over the rest of your lifetime, let's call it 20 to 30 years, means that an extra 30% on average stays in your investment capital to move forward each time you exit. And that's one of the big reasons that we're such a proponent of the 401 trust. From a 401 trust perspective on the MLP structure, that's not going to get an exception or exemption because, again, it's a trader business. Passive rental real estate is not treated as a trader business. Now, if you do what I do, which is short-term rentals with our boutique hotel properties in San Antonio along the Riverwalk, that's not rental real estate either. That's a trader business. So I know the rule well, even though I don't have IRA money or 401 money involved. If I had investors and if they were investing either the 401 or the IRA, they would have to pay the UBIT because it's a trader business. And these are issues that are so deep in the crack, you will never have this discussion with your own accountant. God forbid you have it in advance of actually pulling the trigger on the investment. Your broker doesn't even understand the concept of UB IT or UDFI. But anyway, I wish I had better news for you, but go get you some real estate, man. Get into the private syndications with apartments and really make some money. I mean, that's a wonderful option. But
I understand.
Anyway,
are you able to deal with something like this if I call you?
Oh, absolutely. Go to our website, submit the intake forms you'll see there, so I know enough about you to have a conversation. You'll see an illustration out there at the bottom of that homepage showing just a $350,000 account that if we help you get control of it and you get it into the right investments, the throughputs will be staggering, assuming you don't need to pull it out next week. I mean, you can. That's part of your control factor once you get it into a 401 trust. And you can do all that without paying any tax or penalty in most cases. Even if you're, and I'm not saying this to pick at you, you're not 49 years old, I can tell just by the tone of your voice. Right? How old are you, if you don't mind me asking? Nobody knows who you are at this point.
You can add 10 to it.
Okay, well, that's not bad. Well, my point is, even if you're not old like me, I'm 61, meaning I could take my 401 money out or my IRA money out, pay tax on it, and then I control it. The problem is I'll have 60% of my family's net worth at that point to work with, whereas if I can take the money, if I can get your money out of the 401k plan at Exxon and get you to be able to control it. You decide, you go to these investor events, you decide, hey, I like that guy that's syndicating that deal in Corpus Christi or, Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, these guys are all over the board. You decide who, when, where, how much to invest that money in, and you don't have to ask permission from your IRA custodian. You are the custodian, the way we set these up. And so even at 39, And you, if you live in the state of Texas, if you're married, and I add happily to that term, we can do a legal process that will get you access to that money where you will control it, or your better half will, as the case may be, depending on which of you are the participant in the plan. So don't think that you can't access your money. You can in many cases. Now, if you're single and you're 39, then the only thing that's going to happen is if you quit your job or if you go get a divorce. That'll be another way that one of you is going to get access to it. Not sure which one. Depends on your other assets. But yeah, absolutely. Sounds like you're close to being able to do it, Skip. Or Scott, I'm sorry. Unless you're married. If you're married, we could do it next week. So in most cases. So anyway, yeah, contact me. That illustration you see there, just for Scott and anybody else that's listening, I'll prepare those complimentary to show you. I understand it's a complicated area. I'm not going to take your money until we decide you're a candidate that's a good use of your money. And just as importantly, our time. We want to know the scope. We want to know what the value is to you guys. And then we'll tell you, okay, this makes sense. You won't resent our invoices, and we won't resent your phone calls and emails. And when we can sync up like that, it's a wonderful relationship, and you'll realize that, hey, by going this route, I'm going to have twice as much money. I don't care what your investments do on their own. I'm just telling you, the right structure gets you twice as much with the 401 trust. And if you don't do well, it won't be as good, but it'll still be twice as good as what you might otherwise do. And it's like I keep saying, you know, if you want financial freedom, which is a common theme I hear on the other radio shows, platforms, etc., how about 2x financial freedom? Because that's what we'll do for you if you'll use this structure. Anyway, Scott, thanks for the call. Oh, go ahead. You had one more question?
Well, what's bothersome is I've owned the MLP in my IRA for several years, at least 5, maybe 7, and just this year they send me a notice.
You found out about the filing requirement, right? Well, listen, connect with me offline. I'm going to tell you how you might handle that, and I'm also going to suggest you might want to upload your K-1s for those years. I'm happy to take a look at that as long as I have the data to let me understand your facts and circumstances. And the first step is go fill out those three of the first four forms on that page. There's only four. And if you'll do that, I'll have the info I need, and then I'll send you a link to our portal where you can upload your returns. I'll do that complimentary because I want to see you understand this stuff enough to know what your options are. And I suspect at some point you'll consider that you would prefer to work with somebody that's a planner as opposed to a reporter. We like reporters. We hope you've got a good one. If you don't, okay, we might be able to help you. Let's see if we can sync up. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So well, thank
anyway.
You.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call. Okay. It sounds like we're hitting a break again. For the client that I read the email and I'm coming back, I promise you we're going to do the answer here on the backside of this break. If you want to call us, 281-558-5738, and perhaps you can get in right after I provide that answer for the emailer. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Got a question for Nathan? Phone lines are open. Call now, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-KSEV. BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com or tune in each Saturday at 5 p.m. for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross right here on AM 700 KSEV.
There wasn't nothing but a heartache in the middle of a bad dream. Like I took on the whole world and I never had a chance, girl. And Lord,
thought I tried to be forgiving. But getting by don't mean you're living.
Okay, welcome back to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross. And as any of you know that listen to the show, I'm sure Neil Diamond did not realize that years ago when he wrote that song, it was going to be my theme song. I mean, who among us doesn't have a financial planning relationship that could be defined as the first, 1 minute and 9 seconds of that song? Not that anybody's paying attention, right? Anyway, we don't believe getting by means you're living, and we want to help you accelerate or enhance that. And one way of doing that is with investment real estate. So back to the original question or email that I read earlier, I'm going to give you the answer. Just to refresh, I've got a party that has three rental houses generating $1,200 a month cash flow. The expenses and depreciation reduce taxable income, check. And they are building equity, check, check. And her question is, does the cash flow from passive investments, what we would sometimes refer to as quarterly distributions, that's not necessarily a regular frequency. Most syndicators will tell you when you look at their documents for the project what they think they're going to do. But understand, this isn't like a stock where you sign up and there's, you know, a dividend date declared and, you know, their quarterly dividend checks, things like that. There may be, but a partnership in a real estate transaction, it will disperse money when there's excess cash that's come into the partnership, as does every partnership, by the way. They're not just pulling money out of a line of credit to or treasury stock, as the case may be, to pass out to shareholders. But okay, so let's assume we're in a transaction, there's quarterly distributions on average, and the question is, if you've done this with your 401 trust money, is the strategy to let those distributions build up in the trust and accumulate for a certain period before you start taking them out to live? And then collaterally, if we take them out to live or pay our bills, are they treated for tax purposes as either being non-taxable, tax-free, or are they taxable income? And if so, do they represent capital gains? And so the question is pretty simple. If that investment was undertaken by the 401 trust, the funds that you'll pull out are classified as ordinary income, just like if you were to take money later in life when you could out of your big company 401 participation, if you're still in that plan at your employer. The difference is you control the 401 trust. You decide when to pay yourself. And you do that when you're ready to pay tax, because it will be treated as ordinary income, taxable income. And in that case, you're going to pay whatever the bracket is that you're in. If you're married, filing joint, less than $200,000, you're going to pay somewhere in the 18 to 22% range. Generally, depends on what kind of deductions you have as with respect to property taxes, charitable contributions, etc. But it is ordinary income. As to whether it should accumulate multiple years, that again, that's your decision. When we take on a 401 trust client, it's always 100% of the time after we've prepared the 401 math illustration where we've shown the projected value add or what I call throughput on those dollars over a period of time that you define. You tell us, hey, we're going to let these funds accumulate for 8 years. We're going to start taking distributions in 9 because that's when we project we need our funds. It could be 4 years compounding, take your distributions in 5. All I'm trying to say is we assume that every dollar that comes back from the investments is being reinvested and you know, with the compounded earnings occurring, so that if you interrupt that flow to some extent, it's going to change the math on that go forward. That doesn't mean you don't do it. It just means you recognize the fact that, hey, when we talk about a 20% compounded rate, which is what I normally show on the illustration, I'm happy to show whatever rate of return you would like to see. I'm just using what I've seen in 20 years as being an average. If you were to get out 10 or 15 years and look back at all your cash flows, whether it's from interim cash flow where, you know, your rents this quarter or this year exceed your expenses, whether it's a year that you refinanced the property and got a lot of your capital back, if not all of it, or whether it's the year you exited the property, meaning the partnership decided to sell it. And by the way, one of the syndicators that I've got clients that invested with 6 months ago just had an offer on a property, and it's got a 40% gain in 6 months. 6 months, a 40% gain. Looks like he hasn't closed the deal yet, but that's what the offer's for. And so those are the kind of grand slams that we like to see. We'll take a lot of singles, take a lot of doubles. Every once in a while you get what I refer to as a grand slam, and then you go reinvest the capital and the gain, and you go do it again. You keep doing it. That's how you make money in real estate. And so in this case, you will only pay the tax when you take the money out to pay yourself or to pay bills or whatever. And that's critical to understand that concept, because that's why we don't rip the Band-Aid off and pay the tax at the outset of your starting to invest in real estate. It's the ability to have the little geese that are laying the golden eggs continue to do so for the rest of the period that you decide not to take the cash flow out. And I'm assuming you would never take the principal out, because that's the reason you did the trust to begin with, is to avoid having to write checks on the principal to the IRS. So we assume you're going to live on cash flow at some point. And if you interrupt that stream, well, then yes, it affects the compounding that takes place. It still may be within the range that you're seeking at the end of the day. It just slows it down a bit. But the point is, it's your decision. It's not an administrator or a custodian that you're going to decide to do that. So you decide to take the money. We report a 1099-R that year to alert the IRS that, hey, we took distributions, or this client took distributions, and you're going to pay the tax when we file your 1040, or whoever files it. Maybe you've got a good reporter that we would like to leave in place, and we'll work with them. But that's basically how that works. And if that didn't cover the answer, just shoot me another email. But I think I understand exactly what you're asking. I like this question because it crosses multiple pieces of content within the real estate investment, passive investment, and 401 trust space. And by the way, if you had this money outside the 401 trust, you might take it out without paying tax currently, meaning it could be a distribution in a year that you don't have taxable income. And I know that's a foreign concept for most people that don't understand partnership taxation. But when you're a member of a partnership or a partner in a partnership, the amounts you get reported to you each year is not based on what you got a check for and you put in your bank account. It's based on your ownership share of whatever the number is of gross revenues or rents in the case of an apartment, less expenses. And that usually is negative because of the depreciation. So you could get distributions that would not have taxable income associated with them. So in that year, you might not, well, you wouldn't pay any tax. Conversely, there could be a year, maybe if you had to sell, where you got proceeds, but you had to pay your share of the debt, or the partnership would use some of those proceeds to pay your share of the debt. So you might get reported an amount that's actually higher than what you put in your bank account. That's why typically people want to, folks like us, to review these transactions, make sure they understand what they're signing up for. Trust me, we understand the math, and we'll help you understand what to anticipate. Okay, I hear the music. We're coming to the end of the show. I enjoyed this week. Some good calls. Thank you, Steve, for participating. We look forward to next week in the future. And if anybody wants to reach me, Nathan@npross.com or baplanner.com
is our website. Thanks for listening to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan P. Ross, CPA. Be sure to tune in next Saturday at 5 for another edition of the Be a Planner Show right here on AM 700 KSEV.